the thing on your ear would be helpful. It's like I've never done this before. All right, and I thought, okay, let's go back to the basics. Two Sundays, let's do the two commandments. Love God, love others. I'll do this Sunday, first Sunday I'll do love God, what's it mean? And then next Sunday I'll do love others. And I have my sermon ready to roll. And as I was working through love God, it took me somewhere. And where I thought I was going to be preaching on about loving God, I have somewhere different. So let's begin with our scripture today. And let's open with that. If I get to the right spot here, flip this over. First off, I have, you know, John usually has like 17 pages of notes. I have two. So we could be done in 15 minutes. Amen? And then we go tell John, hey, John, your 45, 50-minute sermons, Andy did one in 15. We're having him more often. Is that amen? We go with that one? Sound good? All right, let's begin. Let's open up with 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is the meat sacrifice to idols chapter. I'm going to go to the end. And let's go to the end. Let's start in verse 31. So we get that up. Let's begin. Let's just read 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Wait a minute, you slipped into chapter 11. Yes, I did. Remember, chapters weren't when it was written, so this is actually the first sentence of 11 is actually goes with what we just read. And so this, be imitators of me, you think, why you threw in the beginning of chapter 11. It doesn't go together. Yes, it does, right? It's this context of what am I doing? And then he said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's quite a bold statement, isn't it? Paul's saying, be like me. Can you stand up and say to your kids, to your coworkers, be like me? Wow, that's a hard, that's a bold statement. It's a really bold statement. And Paul said it. What did he mean? Well, I think, you know, this whole, the context of this, and we'll, it's like I have like 15 minutes of setup and 2 minutes of points. So if you can hang out with me for all the setup, I'll get to my points kind of at the end and we'll sum up and say, there it is. Go forth and love God. All right? But, so let me, bear with me as I have all this setup and then we'll get to my points. So first off, you know, so Paul has had this be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And that, you know, just to be imitator of me by itself was probably wrong. You know, you can't say that. Be imitators of me when I am imitating Christ, right? That's the key. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm loving God. We're going there. So it got me to the point of loving God. It's God said, if you love me, you obey my commandments. Right? And he who obeys my commandments, the Father and I will come and make our abode with him. Right? So to love God, just obey his commandments. And so that's where, you know, my progression of loving God. And, oh, we're going to love God. And, oh, well, Jesus said, well, if you love me, you do what I say. And then I got to the point of dealing with graduations and kids. And I have one graduating high school and one graduating college and all the things going on and changes of lives. And I got to this point that they were asking me, I asked myself and everyone, and it's actually the title, if you put the title up of my sermon, what's the title of the day? Is it okay for a Christian to fill in the blank? Because as we all deal with life and things in front of life and obeying God's commandment, I've often, people come to me and ask, is it okay if I, whatever, and they fill in the blank with something. I even myself will ask, is it okay if I, you know, in my Christian liberty. And so, how do you answer that? Is it okay if I, is it okay for a Christian to, and then you can fill in that blank with a whole host of things. And how do you answer that? So the first way you kind of respond to that question is the, what does Scripture say? Is there a scripture, right? And so is there both either a command to do or a command to not do, right? Is there a prohibition in Scripture? Is there a commandment in Scripture? So sometimes we can look at this. Is it okay for a Christian to whatever? Well, what does the Word say? If John was up here, he'd say, well, what does the Word say? Let's go to the Word. And so there are certainly some examples would be 1 Corinthians 6. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. So we start listing things. Neither the sexually immoral or the idolaters or the adulterers or those who practice homosexuality or thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. So there's many scriptures we can say, yeah, I got lots of don'ts, you know. You shouldn't be a thief. Okay, is it okay if I, steal from my office? No, don't be a thief. Right? But it's just a couple pens. Well, it's still a thief. Don't be a thief. So there's sometimes it's easy to answer. You say, okay, I'm not to be a drunkard or a thief or a liar. Good. And there's also the do's. There's a whole host of do's. We can go through Scripture. I just threw a couple of, go and make disciples. Have you heard that one? It's a do. Thank you, Haman. Right? Go and make disciples. There's render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. There's a do. It's a very generic. Do good and be rich in good works and be generous and ready to share. So some do's. So sometimes we can look at them and we hold it up to the do's, but there's often, that's the slam dunk ones, pretty easy. They don't usually come and ask me. Like at work, there's a few people at work that, when I see them coming to my desk because they need something, I kind of, oh no. Because I figured, if it was easy, they could handle it. But when I see, a couple of people, senior people come to my desk with this, I need help look on their face, it's like, oh no, this is going to be a zinger. Right? This is going to be a hard one. What do you do with these? We don't want that up yet. What do you do with, they're way ahead of me. I don't have my clicker. Go back to the title. There we go. Stay there. So, That was my 2 minutes point at the end. So we have to come back to that. But, what do you do when you get these? Well, how do you answer that one? Some of these questions that you're like, I don't know if the Scripture explicitly has, thou shalt not steal pens. Okay, well, I can correlate that to the thievery thing. But what do you do when there's questions? And let's, here's where we kind of get into cultural things. What do you do with clothing and how you dress? Is it okay for a Christian to dress, wear whatever, do this or dress in a certain manner, right? Is it okay for a Christian to dress goth? You know what goth is, right? They're all black and dark. Is it okay for a Christian to be goth dresser? Should Christians be wearing dresses? What about head coverings? Is it okay for a Christian to have a head covering and not have a head covering? Can a Christian wear a bikini? Is it okay for a Christian to wear a bikini? Those are some questions. Is there a thou shalt not wear a bikini? I don't think so. I don't have a prohibition on that one. And I don't have a thou shalt go ahead and wear a bikini. I don't have a do or a don't. So is it okay for a Christian to wear a bikini? Is it okay for a Christian to wear a bandana on their head? In the 80s and 90s, if you were in L.A. and you wore a red bandana on your head, and you went to the wrong neighborhood where you're supposed to have a blue bandana on your head, you'd get shot. The Crips and the Bloods. Because what they wore was a badge, right? I'm declaring by what they wear. So is it okay? Is it okay for a Christian to wear a red bandana? Today? Okay, wear a red bandana, I don't care. But why did you put the bandana on your head? Is it okay to be goth? Is it okay to wear black? I like black. It makes me slimming. Black is slimming. I should wear black, right? Why am I wearing that black? Because I celebrate darkness, and So you're kind of seeing where I'm heading. So that's from simple ones. Those are some simple ones. I have a few lists, a few more. Alcohol. Is it okay for the Christian to alcohol? How are we gonna answer that one? Even food. What food you eat? Should you be a vegetarian? How about a vegan? Or a meatitarian, whatever that one. What's that protein one, the meatitarian? That one, Christians should be meatitarians. Someone said, oh man, yeah. With barbecue. Yeah, but you put the potatoes on the side, so that just blows it all, bud. All right, so, what about sweets? Indulging in those terrible sweets. Is it okay for a Christian to, how do we answer that? Some other questions. This is where I'm gonna age myself. Tattoos and piercings. Is it okay for a Christian to have a tattoo? If I were to go to Leviticus 19, it expressly says, in Leviticus 19, 27 or 28, thou shalt not have any tattoos or piercing markings on your body. It says it in the Old Testament. We should follow the Old Testament. Right up until I go to the previous verse, Leviticus 19, 27, that says, thou shalt not trim the edges of your beard. You trim it? You're not conforming to Leviticus 19, 27. Are you conforming to Leviticus 19, 28? How do we do this? And why did they have Leviticus 19, 27 and 28? Piercings and tattoos. Is it okay for a Christian too? Sacred days. Is it okay for a Christian to celebrate Christmas? Because it's a pagan celebration. So kids, yes, with the presents, many of them. Right. I heard you, Lucy. I heard you. All right. So I have that dad's ear. I can hear that. Christmas. No, Easter. Isn't Easter by definition the name of the celebration? I call it Resurrection Sunday. So first off, start calling it Resurrection Sunday instead of Easter and you'd be good. You'd be a good Christian that way. But can we celebrate Easter? Okay, my favorite that I throw rocks at, Halloween. Is it okay for a Christian to celebrate Halloween? If you were here a while ago, you know my stance on that one. But so is it okay for a Christian to? How do you answer that? Let's look at a couple others. Your time commitments and your activities. Is it okay for a Christian to have all these events outside of the family? Is it okay for a Christian to have conflicts on Sunday? That I'm going to do this instead? Is it okay for a Christian to whatever? How do you answer time conflicts and priorities in my life? Is it okay for a Christian to? Then we can get to speech. Is it okay for a Christian to have coarse language? It's just a word. And I use it. I love the story of a youth pastor had a whole bunch of kids in a bus, and you know, you have youth learning how to live, and the kids were kind of standing up, resting around, and the bus hit something and jerked, and the young man went forward and a thing came out of his mouth, right? And you're like, oh, from the heart the mouth speaks, so you just revealed your heart to me. But is it okay to use coarse language? Is it okay for a Christian to join in on that conversation? How do you answer that? We can go to movies. Movies, music. Is it okay for a Christian to watch that movie? You know, for me, as long as it involves something blowing up, I'm in. Is it okay for me to like stuff with blowing up, right? Because you know, no animals are injured in the blowing up. We're okay. So, but is it okay for a Christian to watch that movie, listen to that song, enjoy that form of entertainment, go to that play? Is it okay for a Christian to whatever? How do we deal with that? How do you answer that when I say, show me the scripture? Well, I got Leviticus 19:28, but show me the scripture that says thou shalt or thou shalt not. There are many things in our life that I can't show you that one, but I'm going to show you something else. So as we do that, you know, for reading assignments for my lovely wife who's a note taker, there's a note taker. So go home and read Romans 14. Write that down. Go home and read Galatians chapter 5, the middle part, the 13 through 26 section. Go read that one. But we're going to kind of hang out in 1 Corinthians 1:10. And what I want to do is look at a couple things. We just read 31, so I had that picture of the 31 and 23 together. So it should be there's a slide that has both 1 Corinthians 10:23 and 1 Corinthians 10:31 on the same slide. It says something, something extra. That one. Okay, fine. So 1 Corinthians 31 we just read. So whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And we're gonna hold that up to in 1 Corinthians 10, he was talking about this, all things are lawful, right? We're Christians. We are not under that Leviticus law, that law that was there, that procedural law. Jesus was on the cross and said, it's over. It's finished. I've completed it. I've fulfilled that one. We are new covenant believers. And in new covenant believers, we have freedom, right? We are free from the law of sin and death. Praise God. And we're free from some of those practices, but we're not free from God. What we're free from is we're free from our own sin. But we have this liberty. And if you look at your scripture, it was quoted when Paul wrote this on chapter 10. He says, because if you look, I think NIV says, and you say, quote, all things are lawful. It says, I have the right to do anything in the NIV, I think. I have the right to do anything, you say, in quotes. Because I have Christian liberty. But not everything is beneficial. Not everything is helpful. I have the right to do anything. All things are lawful to me. But not everything is constructive or builds up. And not for the good of others. So we have this, I can do any Christian liberty. I have the right to do anything. I have Christian liberty. Or do I? Because whatever you do, in eating, drinking, whatever you do it to the glory of God. So I'm going to take a sidestep. Dr. Bethard's had me come and share with a bunch of college students a few weeks back, and I shared this story there, and it actually worked well, so I'm going to share it with you. So this is a story. Some have heard it. My kids have heard it. Their dad's going to tell the story again. But I use it very much for some of this illustration. So here's an illustration. There was a wealthy man. He needed a new driver. He was going to hire a new chauffeur, basically, that word, someone to drive him around. And he had three candidates out in the foyer, and he would call them in one at a time. He called the first one in, and he said, all right, I'm hiring you to be, to drive me around, take care of me. He says, here's the situation. We have one of those mountain roads that's weaving up the side of the mountain. And on the right side, it goes straight down. And on the left side, it goes straight up. And you have this curvy road you need to drive me on. How close? I love to look out and see. How close could you get me to the edge of that road? The first applicant said, well, I'm pretty skilled at driving, sir. I could probably feel comfortable getting you within about a foot of the edge of that road. And the wealthy man said, well, thank you very much. We'll be in touch, and dismissed him. Short interview, right? Second man, same question, mountain road, straight down, straight to side. I really love to see things out in there. How close could you get me to that road? And the second guy's like, well, I'm pretty confident in my driving skills. I've practiced it a lot. I could get you within 6 inches of the edge of that road and drive you up that road. And the wealthy man said, thank you very much. Thank you for answering the question. We'll be in touch. Third guy, same question, blah, blah, blah. How close could you drive me to the road? And the third man paused for a moment and looked at him and said, sir, I'm a skilled driver, but my job is to drive you safely. So I would stay as far away from that edge as I possibly could to get you on that road. And the wealthy man said, you're hired. So when we go back to that question, is it okay for a Christian to? My question back to you who's asking this question, are you trying to see how close to the edge of the road you can drive? Are you trying to say, what you're really asking me, many times with my kids, I beat them. What you're really asking me is just, how close to sin can I get? Is this a sin? What if I do this? I'm pretty good. I'm pretty confident in my capability. I can handle it. I can get this close. You're an idiot. It is not how close to sin can I get or how much like the world can I be. That's a failure. What you need to say is flee from that which is immoral and unwrong. I love God. And I love the thing God loves. Then when I come to say, is it okay for a Christian to? Let's answer it with that lens. As opposed to the, how close, is that a sin? Is it a sin what if I just have one beer? Is that a sin? What if I just maybe one and a half? That's your strength saying, I can handle it. Where wisdom says, wine's a mockery and it's deceitful. So, it is not how much like the world can I be. It is not how close to sin can I walk in this freedom I have. But you are to flee from it. Joseph of the Old Testament, to flee from it. The wife of Potiphar tried to grab his clothes, and he ran from there. flee from this. Get as far away from that as you can. That's how you answer it. So when you ask me the question, is it okay for a Christian too? I'm like, I'm going to say, are you trying to see how close to sin can you walk? Does that love God? So with that in mind, now my 3 points. We're already adjusting for my points. So first point is, so that was my setup. It was about 15, 20 minutes of setup. Now I got the 3 points. Let's get here and get out. Let's go have lunch. But I want you to hear this. First thing you say is, well, does it honor the Lord? And does it honor the Lord in this manner? Because, I think I'm going to probably say, if you jump in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, very similar to what we see in Corinthians 10:1, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. And this idea of what you do it, remember, when I said I want to talk about love God and love others, this was one of the key places that was said many times from Jesus, but in Matthew 22, prior to saying this, the Sadducees were testing him, and they just asked Jesus the whole, here's a hypothetical Jesus. What if a woman got married to a man, and the man died, and then she married her brother, and he died, and then she married her brother, and he died, and she married his brother, and he died, and he did it 7 times. In heaven, whose husband would he be? And Jesus is like, you don't get it, right? It's not about marriage and husband. You know, it's about being, that's not the point. And then secondly, the Pharisees came and said, okay, I'm going to test you. What's the greatest commandment? And Jesus gave us the Shema. Right? He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend everything. This is the foundation of everything. Love God, love others. And so let's begin with love God. And when you're trying to ask this question, is it okay if I, whatever, or should I, whatever, does it honor the Lord? Does it show love to the Lord? Because if you love God, you're going to have his heart. And if you love God, you're going to love the thing God loves, which makes the second one really easy. Love your neighbor as yourself. But when you love God, you love who God is. And God is virtue. God is truth. God is holy. God is the three holies, right? It's like good, better, best. Holy, holy, holy. He said it 3 times because he means it's not just holy. I'm not just holier. I am holiest. Is that a word? So it is today. Holiest. So listen, when you love God and you follow this commandment, I love God. Therefore, I love the thing God loves. I love doing right. We switch from obedience, which means I have to or else, to submission, to just loving, doing virtue, just loving, doing what's right. And when you ask this question, is it okay if I do whatever? It's like, I don't even want to do whatever that borderline thing is because I have no love for it. And I don't do it because of the or else, right? Because he will or else you, right? He whom the Lord loves, he will discipline and chasten, whip, beat every son whom he receives, right? So there is the obedience thing, but when you really, really learn to love God and love who God is, you just love virtue because God is virtue. You love holy. And you act and behave that way just because I just love it, right? You're the goody two-shoes. But you love being the goody two-shoes, right? It's just the holiness. Then under request from Kelly Baker in this vein before some years back. And I have to say that I heard it from someone who heard it from his father. So this is like third hand, I guess fourth hand. But it was this idea that, listen, the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments are the or else's, right? Do this or else, right? You shall do this or else. Well, when you love God and God loves you, and your heart is changed, and you become more and more like Jesus, the Ten Commandments become the Ten Promises, or the Ten Descriptions of you. Because if I were to read it, you shall not have no other gods before me, that's the commandment. But when you love God and love the things of God, it becomes this: you shall have no other gods before you. Instead of you shall not make for yourself an idol, it's like you shall not. You should not be making idols. It's just not you. You shall not commit murder. You know, you don't. Yeah, my description. How do you describe me? You don't commit murder. You don't covet. You don't. So those commandments, which are the or else's, when you love God, they become promises. That's who you are. You shall remember and keep the Sabbath day holy. Great description. You shall not be envious of your neighbor's goods. You shall respect your father and your mother. What a great way to be. So how do you answer that? Well, first, does it honor the Lord? Does it honor the love of God? And does it reflect who I am? Because I love God and I love the things of God, and that's where I am. And I don't even think about that edge. Second one. Does it cause someone to stumble? We were in the 1 Corinthians 10, which was the meat sacrificed to idol. And Paul was basically, because if you recall, the situation was in the time of sacrifice, there was all these animals. There's basically Jerusalem was one big butcher shop, right? And they had all these meat. Mr. Sherman would love it. This place smelled like a barbecue. No. So they had all this meat, and it's like, now there was the temple, and then there were other temples that also mimicked God and had sacrifices. And so what was happening was that when you went to the store, you had the store. When you went to go get it from the market, go with me, store. When you went to the store, you had the meat that came from the good place, and you had the meat that came from those idol temples. And that piece of sirloin is terrible, and that piece of sirloin's okay. And if you ate that one, you were sinning, because that meat came from the idol temple, whereas that one came from the priest, and you can eat it. And they had this whole thing, if you're eating meat sacrificed to idol, you're sinning, and all these things. And Paul, listen, it's just food. You're just eating it. What you eat, then it's eliminated. It's just your food, right? It's not the food. It's, does eating it cause your brother to stumble? Meaning, is the fact that, yeah, I went to the Artemis Temple and got, you know, a couple of sirloins. That causes my brother to stumble? Meaning, they can't handle it? Or they think it's bad? So, does it cause someone to stumble? Is your witness going to promote God? Or is your witness going to cause someone to say, ooh, well, maybe that doesn't matter? And as I was speaking to the young people, I said, listen, I live in the business world. I fly a lot, do a lot of business travel, have a lot of business meetings, and work with sales guys, and, you know, and their life revolves around the bar. Let's meet at the bar and do this. Let's do that. Let's have dinner. What are you drinking at the bar? So I am just daily dealing with, let's go have a drink. I have chosen I don't, right? I do not, and my witness is such. And so, and why? One of the reasons is you, elder of this church, I do not consume alcoholic beverages. Why? Isn't that a liberty? Because it's drunkenness that's the issue, and I can find all, you know, we can find the psalm of wine makes a joyful heart, and all. I can give you some, but no. I'm going to stand before you and say, no, I abstain. Why? I don't want you to stumble. I'm not even going to get close to the edge of that road. I abstain. So, does it cause your brother to stumble? It's another great way to answer it. And the fine one, don't put it up yet, but I guess when I was in college, high school, they had the bracelets. WWJD bracelets. Who had one? You had a WWJD, who still has one? Right? What does it stand for? What would Jesus do? And I'm like, there's part of it. It's a noble thought. Very noble thought. But I'm like, do you really know? You know, what would Jesus do? Oh, to heal blindness, you spit, you make mud, you spit, and you put it on the eyes. That's how you heal blindness. Oh, wait. No, this guy, you just spit in their eyes. No mud. And you tell him to wash and him not to wash. And do you know what Jesus would do? No, you don't. I'm going to change it to this. Click. WWJS. What would Jesus say about this? Remember the role of the Holy Spirit? Convict us and to bring to remembrance all the words that Jesus said. So instead of a WWJD bracelet, get a WWJS tattoo. No, don't get a tattoo. What would Jesus say? I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go walk up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, is it okay for a Christian to do this? What would Jesus say to that answer? You put your hands on your hips, too. It helps a lot. Or if my girls, you have to do the hip front thing, whatever it is. That's, sorry, you didn't need to see that. You can't unsee that, sorry. What would Jesus say when you asked him that question? Don't come ask me, because, you know, imitate me like Paul said, as long as I'm imitating Christ, don't imitate me when I'm stumbling. What would Jesus say? What has Jesus said? So, is it okay to fill in the blank? How do you answer that? Well, first off, your job is to be a light that would shine and show forth good works to give glory to God in heaven. I use this phrase often with my kids, with everybody. Listen, you must be witnessing continually, every moment of the day. Witness, witness, witness. And if you have to, use words every now and then. What I mean by that is your life, your walk, your character, who you are, what you're doing. Do you honor the Lord? Are you making sure no one stumbles? And I'm proud to say, I believe Jesus would say, well done to me. If you can say that, have great liberty. The liberty in Jesus is go do. All things are lawful to you. Go. Do what the Lord wants you to do. If you're sitting here thinking, well, my God, does this honor God? Maybe. Does it cause someone else to stumble? Am I going to cause someone else to maybe error? And oh yeah, by the way, what would Jesus have said to me? Pass those three tests, go have freedom in what you do. Make sense? Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you, we're thankful that you are our God and that you love us. And I think even as we stand here and just to know that